Hello, this is UUtah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and yes, you're in fact listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. My life's wave is at its crest. The thought of work becomes a friend of the thought of rest. And see how little avail one man is, and yet I would not be a man sitting still. No little song of desire traveling the mind's dark woods. I am trying to teach my mind to bear the long, slow growth of the fields and to sing of its passing while it waits. Well, here we are once again. This is UUtah Phillips. It's Steve Baker who's twirling the knobs here. That was the wonderful music of the Borsdorfs. They're camped out there in the wilderness somewhere. They are like smoke on a windy day. The poem I just recited was, if you didn't recognize it, from Wendell Berry. Here we are, plunging at breakneck speed toward the Christmas buying frenzy. There's nothing for it. I've been encouraging my family and all of our relatives to put money into a fund for the Heifer Project to buy farm animals for people who really need them and make their living and off of them and feed themselves off of them. So you might want to consider that. What is that song I learned from Brackney, the cab driver up there in Victoria, British Columbia? Dashing down the aisles with an empty pocketbook, I ain't got no dough, so I'll just have to look. Bells on registers ring, making me uptight. Guess I'll have to go and rob a liquor store tonight. Oh, stick 'em up, stick 'em up. Christmas should be free. I can't beat the system, but the system can't beat me. Rah. Of course, KVMR offers its usual holiday warning for those of you who are traveling long distances to drive carefully. And please remember that 60% of all people were caused by accidents. We are here in the studios of KVMR, Nevada City, California, the chronosynclastic infundibulum of the new age. We are the Hogwarts of the foothills. Well, now, look, it's been a strenuous couple of months. We are in wartime, and it's the damnedest wartime I was ever in, and I've been in a few of them. A media wartime, I guess. And I've dealt with it as effectively as I can, as much as I'm able, I think, in through this program, through Loafer's Glory. And I feel like relaxing, resting into something that I can deal with. I want to take you on a little journey with me, a little trip back into my past, back into my trade as a traveling folk singer, back into the heart of folk music itself, especially through an organization that no longer exists, called Philo Records, that went out of business about 27 years ago, but a true friend of folk music, and I want to take you there with me. I used to wake up in the morning there in the shadow of Mount Philo in rural Vermont, up there south of Burlington, in a railroad caboose, actually a scraper car, a large railroad caboose I had bought off of Vermont Central Railroad for $500, put it on 50 feet of track. They're graded. We had a grading party, and we laid the track down, and they craned off the big scraper car and put it down there. I had a Coley LeMay wood stove in there and a big iron bed and a jar of water. There was no electricity in the place. Had a hand-cranked Sonora Victrola with old Enrico Caruso records. And it was totally, you're so far away from any roads. It was out in the middle of a pasture. Charlie, the drunk mathematician across the road, always threatened to roll it off into the gully because it seemed to block his view, so I had it spot welded to the track. On the side of it was the big monad, said Great Moncton Ridge, Saratoga, Salt Lake, and Pacific Railroad, all 50 feet of it. When I'd wake up and look out my window, I'd see a big barn at the other side of the meadow. The barn. That was the home of Philo Records. To drive by on that dirt road, Spear Road Extension, you wouldn't know that there was a a beautiful recording studio in there, an enormous, cavernous place. And that had become the home of traditional music, but all kinds of folk music, not only music from the deep well of our people's tradition, but music of singer-songwriters who had tapped that tradition and were creating songs that could conceivably flow back into it. Philo Records existed before, I guess you'd, what would you call it, post-melodic deconstructionism. We were all pre-modern constructionists. I still am. Philo Records, when it decided to record somebody, would put on that record, on the back of it, and say to all the people that they recorded, this record is as conceived by the artist. We encourage each artist to take complete creative responsibility for this record. Now, there's never been a record company in the world who ever did that. And it was a rocky kind of a road because so many people who were in the trade were so unaccustomed to having that kind of freedom, to having that kind of liberality in their recording careers. Well, Philo Records lived and worked at a time when you could still hear traditional music. As I say, that great well of the people's tradition, you could still hear the music of Appalachia. You could still hear the rural music of New England being played in small folk clubs. You could still hear handful pockets of the elders who were still able, still willing to share their music with the youngers. The youngers, now there's one, Jay Unger. Jay Unger came up to Philo and was sort of the house fiddler. You may remember Jay, he did that Ashokan Farewell for the Ken Burns thing on the Civil War. Became a very well-known fiddler. Back then, they were working from gig to gig just like everybody else, playing the small places, Jay Unger and Lyndon Hardy, with a whole bag of marvelous traditional music that Philo was only too happy to record so that it would persist in the world. Let's listen to Jay and Lynn sing and play this old song, I'll Rise Up When the Rooster Crows.
I'll rise when the rooster crows, I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'm going back south where the sun shines hot, oh, down where the sugar cane grows. Golden shoes you heard so much about, if you're worn down here, wait, soon wear them out. I'm going up yonder, gonna put on my robes, gonna put on my golden shoes. I'll rise when the rooster crows, I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'm going back south where the sun shines hot, oh, down where the sugar cane grows. Old Satan try to fool you, for the gates will be closed and you can't get through. With the long white robes and the white socks too, I'm gonna put on my golden shoes. I'll rise when the rooster crows, I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'm going back south where the sun shines hot, down where the sugar cane grows. Come to blow his horn, then you can't pull back, cause you gotta push on. So prepare yourself for the judgment day, cause you can't take money and buy your way. I'll rise when the rooster crows, I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'm going back south where the sun shines hot, oh, down where the sugar cane grows. Have cider all the fall. I said I'm going to the ball, where the duck chews tobacco and the goose drinks wine, the old hen cackles while the rooster keeps the time. I'll rise when the rooster crows, I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'm going back south where the sun shines hot, oh, down where the sugar cane grows. What you gonna do when the women all dead? I'm gonna stand in the corner with my hung down head. Well, if I had to marry, I wouldn't marry for riches. A married big fat gal couldn't wear my britches. I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'll rise when the rooster crows. I'm going back south where the sun shines hot.
Well, there I was. Music from the Barn, by the way. Music from the Barn, Jay and Lynn. There I was in Scotland. I was sort of hitchhiking around, me and a couple of friends. I was playing small folk music clubs, playing up there in the Silver Slipper in Nottingham and the place in Catford and along Irminsul on the Great North Road, just barely making it through. That's why I was hitchhiking a good bit. When I got up to Scotland, I started looking around for kin. See, Utah Phillips is what I've been known by for years, but my real name is Bruce Duncan Phillips, as I was named by my grandmother from Robert the Bruce and King Duncan. The Duncans, I had found out, were still camped up around Loch Rannoch there at Rannoch Barracks, so as I was booming through, I started asking around about Duncans. But hell, our people been thrown out during the Highland Clearances, you know, settled Boonesboro, Kentucky with Daniel Boone. It was a long time ago since they were in Scotland. Still in all, I was curious if there were any kin. Well, I did find some that bore that name, either that or Robertson, which is pretty much the same. They said, you want to know the first of your line, you got to go to Iona. So I boomed over to a town called Oban on the west coast and played a place called McTavish's Kitchens. And then got a boat out to an island called Mull, took the bus across Mull into a smaller boat out to a tiny island called Iona, which they told me was the burying place of the Scottish chiefs, of the lairds. Well, there was a ruined monastery there and a ruined church. The Vikings did their work. And but there was still an abbot, still an old priest, and he came out, and I told him what my request was, and he led me down through the bushes, through the gorse, looked like sagebrush to me, down to a big, oblong, red granite stone, and he pointed at it and said, there's where King Duncan lies, the first of your line. And then he left, and I sat down on that stone, and I watched the sea birds and listened to the sound of the water on the sand. Thought about it. Before I left, I took off my wobbly button, Industrial Workers of the World, my union button. I pushed it way under that stone for the benefit of future archaeologists. Back at McTavish's Kitchen there, when I arrived, the people were in the bar, people behind the bar, people who were running the restaurant, they were all talking about rubber buns. Rubber buns. And finally, I, in a fit of pique, I said, what the hell are rubber buns? It turned out that they were talking about Robert Burns, that it was Robert Burns night that they were propelling to celebrate. So it was rubber buns. That's what I heard. It was rubber buns. Anyway, Robert Burns wrote a great number of songs. That's where this is going, by the way. Robert Burns wrote a great number of songs, hundreds of songs. None of them, they'd all been recorded separately or sometimes in small groups, but none of his songs extant had all been recorded in a set of records. Well, Philo Records took on the task of doing just that, and they couldn't find anybody better to do it on the whole world than a great Scottish singer by the name of Gene Ridpath. Let's listen to one of those from the old Philo recordings, Had I the White.
Had I the white, had I the white, had I the white, she bought me, had I the white. Had I the white, she bought me, had I the white, had I the white, had I the white, she bought me. She watched me by the high side and up the loon she shot me. And when I would na venture in a Kawarloon, she caught me. When I would na venture in a Kawarloon, she caught me. And when I would na venture in a Kawarloon, she caught me. Had gherkins leaping in my gate and lighted when she bought me. So craftily she took me bed, bad me mark me clatter. So craftily she took me bed, bad me mark me clatter. So craftily she took me bed, bad me mark me clatter. For Urram gum shakram, good man is a I shall say I want the grace while I did kiss and daughter. Oh, I shall say I want the grace while I did kiss and daughter. Let him be planted in my place and say I was the father. Could I for shame, could I for shame, could I for shame refuse her? Could I for shame, could I for shame refuse her? Could I for shame, could I for shame, could I for shame refuse her? A Whitney man who'd been to blame, and I had kindly used her. He clawed her way the rippling came and lay and bloody bruised her. He clawed her way the rippling came and lay and bloody bruised her. He clawed her way the rippling came and lay and bloody bruised her. When sick a husband was fame, and wife had but excused her. A day the day her rinsey blue and the cruel randy. Her rinsey blue and band the cruel randy. I dechte die her in, and on the cruel randy. And wheel my water well and moo as sweet as sugar candy. A glum and shot that was I what I lighted on the Monday. A glum and shot I lighted on the Monday. A glum and shot that was I what I lighted on the Monday. But I come through the dice, did you know what the Willie's brandy? Had I the white, had I the white, had I the white she bade me, had I the white. Had I the white, she bade me. Had I the white, had I the white, had I the white, she bade me. She watched me by the heights and then up.
Jean Ridpath, she's still out there stumping and doing that marvelous traditional Scottish music. A good deal of that was Gaelic. I hope you understood it or made notes. And I do have in the record notes that Philo put out these marvelous complete record notes, and it has a whole glossary in there of all of the Gaelic terms. It was at that tavern in McTavish's Kitchen that I did that show. To make my way through, and that show was absolutely destroyed, and it was destroyed by a bunch of drunk sailors off of a minesweeper from Belfast that had put into port there, and all these Irish drunks were there. They just trashed the show. The next morning, I got up, and one of those young fellas from the ship came over and apologized very contritely about having done damage to the program I was doing, and invited me down to their minesweeper. Well, I went down there, and he took me aboard and down into the crew quarters where they cracked out some rum, took out instruments, and started to play music on their own ship. That's the first Celtic music I ever heard, and I fell in love with it. It was like coming home to a music that was sort of bred in the bone, you understand. For the most part, they had learned the music from their elders. But then I found that to be true all over Scotland and over most of England. I found that to be true at the time of traditional music here in the United States because the elders were there. They were alive. They were accessible. That's when I met the Boys of the Loch from up in Scotland. It's Ali Bain is their fiddler. My son is named after Ali Bain, Brendan Alistair Phillips. When I met Ali's teacher, where he apprenticed as a cabinet maker, Tom Anderson. Tom Anderson from up in the Shetland Islands. Tom came to this country with Allie once, and the elder and the younger traveled together and recorded together. Remember asking old Tom Anderson how he felt going from town to town, place to place, a different show every night, having led a rather sentient life up there in the high Shetlands. He said, "Oh, when I get home, I go out in the fog in the morning and I sit on the rocks and gaze out to the North Sea. And I think I can see the ships of Hakon coming through the mist and I feel perfectly at rest." Well now, I've become less enchanted with Celtic music in these the waning days of Babylon. Maybe it's the loss of the elders or too many of them. Maybe it's the pressure of the recording industry, but it's too fast and it's too electric. I'm not in love with fusion music or particularly world music, which is really all kinds of music around the world caving into, quote, Western Eurocentric musical values. I missed the slow airs. I missed the slow airs a lot. Here's the old Philo record of Boys of the Loch, one of the first they made, playing a slow air about the immigrants during the famine, having being driven out of Ireland to come to North America. And this is one of the airs that they played then called The Lament for Limerick.
Mm-hmm.
Boys of the Lock. Now, isn't that restful? Isn't that affecting? I think transporting is what the critics say. The Boys of the Lock, then with their early Philo recordings. To hear that music being played prior to being recorded in this huge barn in the middle of rural Vermont when the windows were open in the summer, and I'd be down at the other end of the meadow on the porch of my railroad caboose, and I could hear it flowing down to me past Mount Philo. While I'm over there in Britain now, I did an interview with a radio disc jockey in London. Now, he was a fast talker. He was like one of the country music DJs that just raps it out, but he did it in a peculiar accent, being Britain, of course. It turned out that what he does is, besides being a DJ, is he takes people, English people, who are aficionados of country music, American country music, on country music tours of the East. And I talked to one of the people that was going on one of those tours, said that, they take us to Jimmy Skinner's Music Store in Cincinnati, Ohio, and so on. And I say, well, then you're going to go down to Bristol, aren't you? I said, well, no, we're not going to Bristol, Tennessee. I said, no, why would we want to go to Bristol? And I thought, this guy doesn't know a lot about country music. Well, that's where country music was practically born. When, was it Fred or Ralph Peer, either one, take your pick, decided that enough rural people had moved to the North that there was a market for rural music in the North as well as in the South. So he went to Bristol with some big, heavy recording equipment. It's about 1927, put out a call all through those states for people who felt like recording their old music to come in and audition. Well, that's where Jimmy Rogers showed up, the Mississippi Blue Yodeler, the father of country music. That's where the singing Carter family showed up, Maybelle Carter and Sarah Carter at AP. And as the first time that they were recorded, the first time that this old mountain music was recorded, and it's still very, very much around us. Well, I think the best exponent of some of that old music, certainly the Carter family, is Jane Voss. Jane, well, a little tiny woman. I always thought she should have been an airline stewardess for Piper Cub. But what a mighty voice and what a brisk banjo style. And I always thought she could sing Carter family songs better than Sarah Carter, and that's saying something. Let's listen to one of those now from her old Philo recording, an old hill tune called Stepstone.
Ramble I stand on my steps, stone at eventide now. The wind whistles by with a moan. Love now is gone as I stand here tonight. Goodbye to my steps, stone and home. Goodbye to my steps, stone. Goodbye to my home. God bless the ones that I leave with a sigh. Fields will be widening and I will be gone to ramble this wide world alone.
Kenny Hall down there in Fresno taking us through the intermission and still cranking out some of the best music you ever heard. I think he's in it, must be in his mid-70s about now, but eager to travel. Anybody wants to bring some fine music to your town, you get hold of me or get hold of Kenny Hall down there in Fresno, California. Virginia Brown was born in 1918 in Wichita, Kansas. She was born blind. The physician, the attending physician, said it was because her mother had cinched herself up too tightly with a corset all during her pregnancy. I guess women were made to do that then, but it caused her to be born blind. Everybody around Virginia Brown made music, though, and that's where she learned it, especially growing up near the oil fields in Oklahoma. The farm she stayed at with relatives, she lost her parents when she was young. The farm went broke in 1933, and she then was shuttled from one relative to another relative. And all the time, a friend that she had met in a blind school was Baby Hoover. Now, Baby Hoover, they started singing together. She was born in 1916 or 1915, unclear about that, in Puxico, Missouri. Sheila had lost her parents very young as well, was born blind. The story was that her eyes, the drunk physician had swabbed out her eyes with the wrong chemical and made her blind. She became pregnant at the age of 18, was thrown out of the place she was living in, had to go to a black market maternity home where they sold the babies. Ever since then, she collected baby dolls. That's where she got her nickname from, a Baby Hoover, because as she said, she relived that over and over again. Did a lot of different kinds of jobs, went to the poor farm, became sanctified at Church of the Nazarene. She and Virginia Brown took to the streets of New York City. You could find them down around Times Square at midnight when you could get some money coming in. Baby Hoover played the accordion, self-taught. Virginia Brown, well, she accompanied with a tin cup with a nickel, dime, and a quarter in it to beat out the time. And they sang gospel music and then ran a little storefront church over in Brooklyn, barely getting by, but getting by radiantly. It was Priscilla Herdman playing in New York City and her friend John Diamond who found them playing on the streets and, yes, brought them to Philo Records to record one of the most extraordinary records that was ever recorded. Baby Hoover and Virginia Brown, and also in here all the complete set of notes and photographs, and then all of the text in a whole card of Braille. Let's listen to Baby and Virginia sing the Royal Telephone.
tie. 'Tis a royal service, free for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for his love and all. We may talk to Jesus through this royal telephone. There will be no charges, telephone is free. It was built for service, just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for his love and own. We may talk to Jesus through this royal telephone. Fail to get the answer, Satan's crossed your wire. By some strong illusion or some base desire. Take away obstruction, God is on the throne. And you'll get the answer through this royal telephone. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for his love and own. We may talk to Jesus through this royal telephone.
Baby of Virginia, the Royal Telephone. This is one of those records that has to be re-released, folks. Give me some ideas about this. All of these are all masters that when Philo Records went into bankruptcy, as part of the settlement, all of the masters went over to Rounder Records, and they're there. I guess they're not commercially reliable, but somebody's got to reissue these fine records, this marvelous music that was brought together at this old barn up in northern Vermont. When I first left Utah in late 1969 to take up this trade, I was really an unemployed organizer and a ne'er-do-well. I didn't know anything about this trade. I had to be told I was singing folk music. I fell in with all these folk singers, both at Philo Records and in Saratoga Springs, where the Cafe Lena was, the oldest coffee house in North America. And I found, in learning the trade from the people around me, and you're talking about $25 a night and sleeping on floors and couches, going from town to town, just playing, just barely getting by. Getting by well, though, you know, because gas was cheap and so on, that most of the people I was with kind of felt that the real people of the real world were doing the real work, and that there were yahoos like us to sort of amuse them when they had time off before it was time for the real people to go back to do the real work of the real world. Well, that offended me, and I had a strong labor background. I left Utah with that, and I felt that this is an honest trade. This is an ancient trade. Why aren't we teaching it like that, treating it like that? Why aren't we treating each other like that as fellow workers, rather than like kind of itinerants, like tinkers or what have you? This is a fine and dignified trade. So I set about forming the first cooperative of folk singers called Wildflowers up in Saratoga. And many of the people that recorded for Philo belonged to that. Well, it went along pretty well. It spun off many different things. Buck and Wing, another cooperative in Boston. It spun off the Cherry Tree, which is an exhibitors cooperative, still going down in Philadelphia. That gradually, as we dispersed, it foundered, came back together several years later as Hey Rube, and we started it there in rural Wisconsin. Then, as years went by, of course, now we have the Folk Alliance, the Great North American Folk Alliance, which is the umbrella for all of us. And then now, thank heavens, mercifully, Local 1000, Traveling Musicians Local 1000, American Federation of Musicians, where we can begin to access pensions, where we can begin to get low-cost health insurance, which none of us ever had. Well, one of the original members of our Wildflowers, and then moderated Hey Rube. I remember those meetings so well up there in Point, I think it was, a town out in the middle of Wisconsin, with Papa John Kolstad. And yeah, Papa John Kolstad did come up to Philo. He was working with a band called the Sorry Mothers the last time I heard. Well, he's back in Minneapolis, but he made a record for Philo that has finally been put back out, only he had to put it back out himself. Papa John Kolstad, and oh yeah, Wild Man Mike Turk, Lady Be Good.
Oh, sweet and lovely lady, oh, lady be good to me. I am so awfully misunderstood, oh, lady be good to me. Won't somebody have pity? Well, I'm all alone in your city, and I'm like some orphan lost in the world. Oh, let it be good to me.
Papa John Kolstad, a good friend, a good comrade. Now, I was so glad in those early times to be a part of the effort to bring dignity to our trade, to our profession. Most of us, of course, working at a sub-industrial level, as I still do, and as many of us still do, have nothing to do with the entertainment industry, but practice this fine and elegant trade where we make all the artistic decisions, where we control the tools of our, the means of our production, with dear to the heart of any wobbly, wouldn't it be? Folk singer. Now, Philo recorded a lot of folk singers. Now, what is that? You know, it's a word is played fast and loose with these days. A folk singer is somebody who sings folk songs. That is to say, songs that don't have any ownership. They're from the great well of our tradition. Folk songs that belong to everybody, like the national parks, like the national forests, like the postal service, our common hoard. Folk singers sing those. Also, folk singers sing songs that other people have made up. They have many of them a phenomenal ear for songs that are percolating up, and learn them and then sing their versions of them in front of audiences. And then, of course, occasionally, their folk singers will make up songs to fill in the gaps, the songs of their own. Great folk singers, though, like Fred Holstein, like Faith Petrick down in San Francisco, are vessels of our American music and vessels of songs that are current in the current repertoire. Fred Holstein is one of the best of these. He doesn't write music. All the people in Chicago, Steve Goodman, John Prine, who were working in Chicago with Fred Holstein as house singers at the old Earl of Old Town, they went on up into the industry. They went on to recording careers because they wrote songs. And then those songs could be dealt again to other musicians, like Steve Goodman's City of New Orleans was then re-recorded by John Denver and by Arlo Guthrie. People who didn't write songs in those times couldn't get those record contracts, you see, but still made their living going from club to club, or like Fred Holstein doing a regular sit for 25 years in the same town. We pried him loose from Chicago, however, and dragged him back to Philo Records, and he sat there in the studio, Chicago Fred Holstein, and recorded. We'd finish at midnight recording. He'd say, God, I'm tired, I'm hungry, let's send out for a pizza. Billy Schubart ran the place, would open the window and said, look out there. Look, remember where you are, Fred. And all you could hear was the sound of the crickets. Here's a great old song that deserves to be brought back. Ralph McTell's song, Streets of London, sung by the great Fred Holstein.
Have you seen the old man in the closed down market kicking up the papers in his worn out shoes? In his eyes there is no pride, hung loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So yes, I know we get lonely. Sometimes for us the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London? Dirt in her hair, her clothes are all in rags. She's no time for talking, she keeps right on a walking, carrying her home into carrier bags. So yes, I know we get lonely. Sometimes for us the sun don't shine. But let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. In the all-night cafe, 11:15, same old man sitting all alone, looking at the world over the rim of a teacup, and each tea lasts an hour and he wanders home alone. So yes, I know we get lonely. Sometimes for us the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old man out outside the seaman mission. Memory fading with metal ribbons that he wears. In our winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So yes, I know we get lonely. Sometimes for us the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I will show you something to make you change your mind.
Freddie Holstein. Well, we have to get moving here. I have to leave out a lot, but you know I can do this all over. I've got the whole catalog of Philo. Philo Records was in a place that had a strong French-Canadian presence and had for several hundred years. Philo recorded that wonderful Quebecois music, Louis Baudouin, the fiddler, Philippe Bruneau played the button accordion, the greatest traditional fiddler of all of Quebec, Jean Carignan, who made his living driving a cab. But perhaps the most beloved was a woman who had passed away many years ago, and Philo put together a reprise of her work off of her old 78 RPM records. Let's finish out with that. Madame La Bolduc, Artemise Marie Lebedeau.
Oh, c'est la belle optimiste qui voulait se marier. Une fois rendue à l'église, elle trouvait plus son cavalier. Oh, on fit venir le bédo pour prendre la place du marié. Et lui qui est pas nigo, consentit sa faire prier. Tellum tintelitum, tellum tintelitum, tellum tintelitum, tellum tintelitum. Après la cérémonie, Artemis qui a bon cœur, dit ben je vous remercie de m'avoir sauvé du malheur. Y'a pas de quoi dit le bédo, je suis à votre disposition. Je reviendrai tantôt et je finirai la traction. Mais ce fut une vraie surprise d'avoir arrivé soudain le cavalier d'Artemise qui s'était trompé de chemin. Artemise à le voyant lui dit, je vous verrai bientôt. Excuse-moi un instant, faut que j'aille dire bonsoir au bédo.
Madame La Bolduc. Now we have 1 minute left, so listen, let's do a snatch of Kenny Hall's old Philo record here, a song called Sandy.
My little dog, he won't bite me. My little dog, he won't bite me. Chases possums up a tree. My little dog, he won't bite me. dog, he won't bite me. My little dog, he won't bite me. Chases possums up a tree. My little dog, he won't bite me.
Thank you for being on this trip with me. I hope someday we have a chance to take it up again, old Philo Recordings. This is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest. And yes, you've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. In a dream, I meet my dead friend. He has, I know, gone long and far. And yet he is the same, for the dead are changeless, they grow no older. It is I who have changed, grown strange to what I was. Yet I, the changed one, asks, "How you been?" He grins and looks at me. "I've been eating peaches off some mighty fine trees."